He took my sister. He took my sister who I talk to every day.
Among the victims is 72-year-old Catherine Massey, whose sister and niece took us into her home.
No, I'm just saying, some of her favorites.
Yeah. Yeah.
They told us she was a beloved pillar of the Buffalo community.
Kat was our cheerleader.
She was a matriarch of the family.
She was. You need something, if she can do it, she would do it for you.
We also spoke to TOPS employee Zaire Goodman, who survived a gunshot wound to the neck. The 20-year-old chose not to be on camera.
I can see you kind of bouncing up and down. And what's the emotion that you're feeling right now?
Discomfort, sadness, maybe a bit of regret.
Regret? Why?
I wonder why, out of all the people that... the three people that were spared, I was one of them.
Hello and welcome to Real Crime Profile. I'm Lisa Zambetti, casting director for CBS's Criminal Minds, Casting Society of America member, where I serve on the Committee for Equality in Entertainment. And with me today is...
Laura Richards, criminal behavioral analyst, former New Scotland Yard, and host of the podcast Crime Analyst.
And I'm Jim Clementi, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor, and writer producer of CBS's Criminal Minds.
Here we are again. Here we are again with a horrific shooting.
Talking about a major, horrific, life-taking event. And this one was very clear who was targeted and why they were targeted. And we're not going to mention anything about the killer other than the fact that we should never mention killers like this. But the victims, we want to talk about them, and we want to talk about how people can protect themselves and also how we can stop this madness.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about, because unfortunately, these are just too common. And I think sometimes people become anesthetized to it, actually, Jim and Lisa, where you just sort of switch out. It's just another headline and people don't want to click on it and they don't want to know what the detail is. And others in different parts of the world are consumed by other things going on in the world right now. But we're talking about the horrific shooting that happened in Buffalo, New York. And a man has been arrested. So as Jim said, we're not going to talk about him, his name, etc., because too many of them do it for that notoriety. But we know that he did do it for notoriety because he live streamed it. And I would ask people not to go looking for that footage, because social media platforms are trying to close it down and are trying to delete it. Well, 13 people, 10 died and 3 were seriously hurt. So the body count on these cases is just horrific. And I know we end up talking about weapons again in America, but I think we should mention the victims first of all. So Lisa, do you want to start with telling us the names of what we do know about the victims?
Sure. We know that 10 people were killed, and each, we could talk so much about each of them. I'm just going to mention their names though. Roberta Drury, Margus Morrison, Andre McNeil, Aaron Salter. And I should mention that Aaron was actually a retired Buffalo police officer who was part of the security of the store where this happened. And he did shoot the assailant, but he was killed. Geraldine Talley, Celestine Cheney, Hayward Patterson, Catherine Massey, Pearl Young, and Ruth Whitfield. And Jim and Laura, so many of these victims were older folks, you know, 65, 72, 86. Just going to the grocery store, normal day, and they just get gunned down. Just, it's senseless.
It's horrible, but it was goal-directed. This person had the N-word painted on the barrel of his gun. I mean, it's clear what he was trying to do and who he was targeting. It's inexcusable. And for every politician, every public speaker to not come out and condemn what he did and condemn why he did it, it's just inexcusable. There's really no reason for it. It's unfortunate. When we did the series for Paramount Plus, Indivisible, Healing Hate, we focused on this kind of hatred that is blind, that is most of the time fed by fear mongers people who say that the liberals are trying to replace white people with other races, get people all fired up and rationalize this kind of horrific violent behavior. It should never happen. And anytime that it does happen, everyone should shut down anything about the offender. It does not help the situation at all, and only focus on the victims and the kind of wonderful people they were and their families and their loved ones, so that we can help them try to heal, help them try to go on, and not focus on the asinine behavior of this kind of criminal.
But should you, Jim and Laura, be looking at his profile? I mean, I don't want to talk about him, but it seems like he's fitting a profile of who we really should be afraid of.
Well, the thing is, you can't use a profile to predict future behavior. The profile basically looks at past patterns of behavior and says, this is the kind of person who actually committed that kind of crime. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, this guy was evaluated because of threats he made to the school that he was in a year ago. And nevertheless, he's still able to get guns and he's still able to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I think it's important to analyze these individuals. But there, as we know, there are colleagues that are doing that work. So Professor James Densley and Gillian Peterson, who we've had on Real Crime Profile, they run the Violence Project, and they have actually been interviewing incarcerated perpetrators, as well as people who knew those perpetrators. And they actually do this detailed work so that we can start to get into intervention and prevention. But I think generally, Lisa, when people are searching for the profile and the motive, I think it is quite unhelpful, because it's almost like a motive can then explain away the problem. So people say, oh, well, it's the hatred, it's race related, or we don't need to know anymore. But actually, if we put more energy and time into why someone does something like this, and for me, it's much more about hate being projected in a direction. And that hatred, well, where does it come from? It's normally from someone who is not connected with people in their life, and they go into suicide crisis, and then they're looking to project those feelings onto others, and then they want to create a mass body count. So that then they start doing research on other shooters. And that's where it's a socially, well, it's like a mass shootings then become socially contagious, that you then get this, the next person trying to create the biggest body count and using what they know works. And that's why we know with this individual, he was premeditated, pre-planned. He was doing surveillance. He was down to the minute working out how to do this. And that's what's really concerning, I think. And James Densley and Gillian Peterson's work is all about where on that continuum can you intervene and can you prevent? That's where our time and energy should be focused. And I do just want to give another context to this. At a time in America where lawmakers are looking to restrict women's reproductive rights and take away a woman's decision to decide whether she wants to have a termination or not, and there are states doing that, Texas inclusive, and yet we have an 18-year-old kid who can buy an assault rifle. No questions, no, well, a background check, and the person says, well, nothing showed up. How is it right that an 18-year-old kid can buy an assault weapon? That's what makes me angry, that we're constantly looking to close down women's rights and choice of things where we should have bodily autonomy, and yet at the same time, this kid who lives with his parents can walk into a shop having already threatened to kill and to do a mass shooting in 2021, and yet he can just buy that weapon. How can that be right? We're just legislating on all the wrong things. And that's what really makes me angry in this particular climate, where more and more mass shootings are happening and the same thoughts and prayers are being offered. And yet in the context of women being treated like we're second-class citizens, it makes me very angry, very angry.
So Jim, was there any recourse when they hospitalized him after his first threat to his high school? I think they hospitalized him for a day and a half, but they didn't keep tabs on him. What can law enforcement do? What are they able to do if they have the will?
They don't have a lot of choices in the current climate because people hide behind this right to bear arms, the Second Amendment right to bear arms. And they think if we limit it at all, that the government's going to take away their weapons. It's another one of those fear-mongering things. It just makes no sense. There literally is not anything for law enforcement to do. First of all, they don't have the resources to just surveil every person who's ever been the subject of an investigation into threats. And then even if they could, they don't have any powers to intervene and arrest someone. You have to commit a crime. If it's not a crime for him to buy a gun, then there's nothing they can do.
But Jim, we've talked about this before, and I noticed both of you stayed silent when I talked about women losing their reproductive rights. And I want to hear both of you make a comment about that. But whilst you think about that, I also want to say, well, Jim, we've talked about assault weapons and rifles and things that have been developed for military personnel getting into the hands of civilians. No, there's no
They're
place
freely
for...
sold to anybody.
Right.
They're freely sold to anybody. I have no justification that I can think of that people who aren't in the military would need to have assault rifles. Even if you feel you need a weapon to protect your home or your family, a shotgun is actually the most widely used and efficient weapon to do that. Most of the time, just racking the shotgun will stop somebody in the tracks. You don't even have to fire it. But these assault rifles are just, they're meant to kill the maximum number of people. That's what they're built for. It's just inexcusable. As far as the Supreme Court situation, first of all, the case itself, the Roe v. Wade case, is fraught with legal problems. The individual states that are making these laws, some of them extreme and some of them are apparently trying to balance rights, but the legal process, it's driven by who people vote for. And in certain states, people are literally voting for people just on this topic alone because they want to limit people's right to abortion. So this is an issue that is going to, that has for many decades and is now under this current climate going to divide our country even further. It's just another entire level of why I should hate someone else because they believe this and I believe that. So let's just make us two separate societies. And that's where we're going with this. It makes no sense. It's not right, but it is something that politicians are literally diving in headfirst to. This is exactly what they want to do.
But my right to buy an assault weapon where I could potentially kill scores of people in one go versus my right as a woman that if I'm raped, for me to have a termination and I can't make that decision. That's what I see as the polarization going on here, that why this 18-year-old can go in and buy this assault weapon, you know, when we've got problems around just own personal bodily autonomy, where someone can't make a decision. That to me is what makes up the craziness that's going on in America right now. And I just can't square it with mass shooting after mass shooting.
Good morning. Law enforcement sources tell CBS News that the alleged gunman purchased the AR-15 style weapon used in that attack legally. They also believe that he intended to continue his killing spree at other locations after scouting specific targets for months.
The attack at the top supermarket comes amid a steady rise in hate crimes nationwide, from around 5,800 in 2015 to more than 8,000 in 2020.
But I think people don't always put these things into a comparison.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
For me, I think because I'm from the UK,
yeah,
where you can't just access an assault weapon, and therefore
right,
we don't have these mass shootings, I still just can't get my head around how an 18-year-old can buy an assault weapon.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well,
that's what I find really difficult, particularly one who, you know, as we said, he was at high school and he was already talking about wanting to do a shooting and he was assessed. There was a mental health assessment. And we know that that history doesn't always follow. And I'm not saying, by the way, even the mental health assessment, because I think too often people say, oh, mental health issue, that explains it.
Right.
That doesn't explain it at all. But it's the fact that history's not drawn together, and somebody can go and buy that assault weapon. And we've talked about it so many times on Real Crime Profile. And I'm not anesthetized to these mass shootings. And, you know, I think sometimes in America, people do just accept that they happen. And I don't think we should ever just accept that they happen or just look for, oh, well, he hates black people. He went to that supermarket. He drove 200 miles because he's racist. It's not really as simple as that, I don't think. You know, and I think when we look at the big picture stuff, because I don't want to get political with a small P or a big P and get into who's voting for, is all I'm saying that it is lunacy at this current, in this current climate, where women are angry and outraged, and yet we see male violence spilling over like this and nothing really happening. And for me, it just comes back to male violence that's allowed to escalate. And we look at all the wrong things all the time. And that bothers me.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I just think we have to, as a society, stop doing these individual assessments of individual cases and look at the whole. It's spiraling downward. It is escalating in frequency and in severity. And it is the kind of thing that will never stop until we limit the rights of people, young people, old people, it doesn't matter, to get weapons and ammunition that can kill multiple people in one event. I keep going back to, at the same time as one of our schools is being shot up and little children murdered, dozens of them, the same time somebody went into a school in China with the same exact intent, only he could only get a knife and he cut one child's ear. Nobody died. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. When you hand out millions of new weapons a year, millions, tens of millions, in fact, over a million a month. And December, Christmas time, is when most are sold in the first two-thirds of the month. Why is it that we have such a violent society that we have to sell tens of millions of guns in this country every year? Just makes absolutely no sense.
I wanted to mention the three people who also suffered injuries, and you know, we're really hoping that they're okay. Zaire Goodman, Jennifer Warrington, and Christopher Braden. And I just feel so terrible for the families of all of the other victims. This is not the America that I want to see, that's for sure.
Well, our thoughts and our prayers go out to all the families and friends and relatives and loved ones of all of those people.
I did want to mention Celise Cheney, who was a grandmother, because there were quite a few grandparents who were in that store as well. And she had six grandchildren, one great grandchild, and also a cancer survivor. And it just makes me feel just so sick to my core. She survives cancer, and yet she goes into her local store to buy something, and then she's shot dead by someone who intended to just kill as many people as possible. And now there is more information about the victims that have gone up and online. I think it's on various news outlets, actually. But there's still too much about the perpetrator. And as you mentioned, Lisa, Aaron Salter was the store security guard, a retired Buffalo police officer. And as you mentioned, he did actually shoot the shooter. And however, he didn't kill him because this individual was wearing full military combat clothes, including body armor and a tactical helmet. He didn't intend to die in this, I don't believe. And the fact that he live streamed it from the start and he has been arrested and charged, that tells me again, although we know that most of these individuals are suicidal, they tend to not care about the consequence. Therefore, it's very difficult to get into prevention. But it just strikes me that this was somebody who intended to cause as much damage and harm as possible. And he was seen the day before, I believe, by the woman who worked in the shop doing surveillance on that particular shop as well, and that he had a manifesto that was very detailed. So even when you've got heroes like Aaron Salter, who died trying to protect and defend other people, this individual had clearly thought about that. And I think that also is very concerning when we think about intervention and prevention.
He also, what just occurred to me is that he started live streaming at first on Twitch, which I don't know if you are too familiar with. I am, because my sons play video games. You know, that's a gamer channel to stream, and as though this were a video game, as though he were going in as a first person shooter in a video game. I mean, it's just disgusting what he wanted to do before it got farmed out to Twitter and Facebook.
Unfortunately, there's, again, lots to learn, but I do think it's the people like James Densley and Gillian Peterson who are doing that detailed work. And I will reference their book for those who are interested in their analysis and research. We have had them on the show. Their book's called The Violence Project, How to Stop a Mass Shooting Epidemic. And it is really worth taking time out to read their book and to follow them on Twitter and to listen to our episodes with them.
Well, please, everybody who's listening, keep in your thoughts and prayers the people who were killed, the people who were injured, and their families and friends and loved ones. This is a terribly tragic event and a deliberately horrific one. Please write to your senators, your congressmen, your president, your local assemblymen and women. Please don't let this continue. Take a stand, make some noise. Until next time, thank you for listening to Real Crime Profile, signing off.
Real Crime Profile was created by Jim Clementi, Laura Richards, and Lisa Zambetti. Produced by Laura Richards, Lisa Zambetti, Jim Clementi, and XG Productions, and distributed by Wondery. Editing by Nick Jaworski at Podcast Monster. Logo art by Jim Clementi. Music composed and performed by Simba Tsumba.